Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, WISO Music Director Nikki Dakota is here to talk about this year's WISO Community Concert. Juliet Freimhold visits the Dayton History Heritage Center. Wayne Baker reports on a new memorial in Springfield. And we visit with some graduates from the Air Force Institute of Technology. But first, we continue our series of faculty readings from this summer's Antioch Writers Workshop. Jamie Dunham, he's an award-winning prose poet and an associate professor of English at Sinclair Community College. Dunham taught the afternoon poetry session at this year's Writers' Workshop.
I personally think that some of the most interesting prose poems that I've come across actually are from the Native American trickster tales, if you're interested in Native American literature. And I wrote a series of trickster tales about... Trickster takes different forms. I generally think of him as Coyote. Sometimes it's the Raven. Sometimes even the Spider-Man. But these all take the more traditional Coyote. And the first one's called Trickster on Hajj. Dust clouds and mountain dew empties. Coyote on the pilgrim trail. Coyote making the journey to Bentonville, Arkansas. Holy city and birthplace of Walmart. Coyote and Imram, his slender frame adored with the sacred plastic bags of Walmart, the same holy bags kept for sack lunches and used to bury the dead. Coyote reverent, but also reflective. Coyote remembers how it all started with just a pair of cutoffs and some pocket change. And now, millions of pairs of cutoffs, thousands of dollars in change. Coyote, but one in a sea of true believers, making the spiritual journey from Raleigh to Nashville to Little Rock. They will find refuge along the way. The white man in the NASCAR hat who hands out sticks of gum in Greensboro. The black woman in Memphis who makes her own beef jerky. Coyote knows we are all the same in the electric eye of Walmart peering down from above the parking lot. One people, united by a love of $5 patriotic t-shirts and 80-pound bags of kibble. Coyote the pious adjusts the plastic bag of moon pies slung over his shoulder and hunkers down for the long road ahead. Don't clap for all of them. They get worse. Kind of an interesting... kind of went through a Gertrude Stein phase, so you have to bear with me. This is called Guilt Comes to Dinner and Stays for Pie. My migratory patterns are dissipating into a loose pile of nails. I leap, the bitter end never far off tasting, and wonder at the whistle that follows. The Grand Tetons, a last moon velvet to procure the chill autumn air. Oh, I've been there, said that before and always ever after. I've seen a big one, drop, dump, bedloads of smallers like fowl. Yet I can no longer taste the nectarine, Marcel. Silly goose, whatever your name is. Your station in life, eternally productive and almost always Bermuda. How sweet. The nightlight is blowing out the last wisp of hair from the forehead of a child. Floppy? Floppy, is that you? How bitterly fantastic to swan indoors for a change, my ferret stole hissing, my hat reeling from the alcohol. I am caressing away all responsibility, folding up shop and loosening the tenants. Another year, we might have made it, you and I. All right, I'm going to try to get through this sequence. This is called Travels with Bear. 1. Highway 9 was always my least favorite stretch of road. Nothing but run-down truck stops and occasional strip joints. So when I saw the bear standing on the shoulder, trying to thumb a ride with its impossibly large paws, I thought, this could be interesting. It was probably stupid. I mean, we've all heard the horror stories. There's an all-too-real danger in picking up a companion, not to mention the fact that this was a bear. Looking back, I guess it was the element of danger I found so exciting. I'd never done anything like that before. I'll admit, when I slowed down enough to get a good look at what I was getting myself into, I almost floored it. But in the end, I pulled off into a gravel ditch, reached across the passenger seat and pushed open the door. 2. The first thing I noticed was the smell. I'd always loved the smell of a pipe. Something about tweed and leather-bound books, a good roaring fire. When the bear pulled out the pipe and looked over at me as if asking permission, I remember thinking, this is going to be okay. I remember thinking that this was a bear of distinction, a gentleman bear, and I'm pretty sure I spent more than a few miles congratulating myself. Then the bear pulled out the dog, or what was left of the dog, or some miserable creature that had until recently shared the same general shape as a dog. It could have been a raccoon or a really large cat. I'll never know for sure. All that was left was the rump, a stub of tail, and 2 stiff legs jutting out like sticks from a caramel apple. Again, the bear paused and looked over at me before continuing. This time I was not impressed. The next 100 miles went slowly. 3. I like music, all kinds of music. I like rock, country, classical, and jazz. I like chant, glam, skiffle, and scat. I'll do new rockabilly, ambient industrial, lento violento, and Paraguayan polka. I'm eclectic. I'm open to new things. Bear likes the jingle for Yum Tom Bubblegum. It all started simply enough. I found a nice blues station, the perfect complement to the approaching sunset. A commercial came on, some annoying song by children extolling the virtues of their favorite gum. Happy kitties love some Yum Tom Bubblegum. Bear sat bolt upright in his seat. I turned the station. Bear turned it back. I looked over at the bear, reached over, and switched it again. Before my hand left the dial, I felt the firm grip of a bear paw, turning my hand and the knob back, 3-inch claws inadvertently flipping on the heater in the process. By this time, the commercial was over, and the bear was not happy. It continued to turn both hand and knob back and forth, first slowly, then frantically, like a man thrashing about in the water for his mother. Finally, Bear gave up and let go of my hand, slumped back in its seat. There was an awkward silence broken by the occasional snuffle that could have been a whimper. I stared ahead at the sunset that reminded me more of my bruised wrist than anything else. 4. It had long since gotten dark, and the bear had fogged up the windshield, craning its neck over the dash to look up at the stars. Suddenly it began grunting and pawing excitedly at the door. Up ahead, a sign came into view, a sign for a run-down motor lodge. I looked at the bear. It looked at me. Without saying a word, I pulled in. I made to get out of the car, but Bear pinned me to the seat with an overdone gesture meant to say, "Hold on." I knew where this was going. Lord knows what was collected in that shaggy coat, but a wallet was bound to be found on the short list of things not found there. "I know," I said. "I'll cover it." But Bear wasn't done yet. There was a low snuff, like the assumption was a personal affront. "Really," I said. The weight of its paw had started to cut into my breathing. "I want to. You can pick up the next one." Something in my tone must have pleased the bear, because this time I was rewarded with a long, wet lick that started beneath the rim of my chin and ended up in the outcropping of hair that afterwards set out in a dramatic arc. The smell that lingered told of affections for honey and a liberal predisposition for grooming regions my tongue could never reach. "Don't mention it," I said as I stepped from the car. 5. Taxidermy never really showed up on my radar. Didn't even register. I knew what it was, and like other obscure hobbies, I tended to exert more energy into avoiding its practitioners than I spent contemplating its existence. To the owners of the Shangri-La Carriage House Banquet Center and Motor Coach Inn, taxidermy was an art form. To Bear, it was the Holocaust. When I first entered the dark wood-paneled room, I remembered feeling like I was being watched. At first, I saw only a pale raisin of a man sitting behind the desk listening to an old radio. The room was stale and his head was partially obscured in a cloud of cigarette smoke. Then, as the smoke began to clear, I became aware of the other eyes watching me, the glass eyes, the eyes of the deer, wolf, elk, and yes, bear that stared down from the walls. My first thought was that I had stumbled into some sort of Disney meets Kathy Kollitz exhibit. My second thought was of the bear. 6. There are sounds not meant for human ears. Sounds too high or loud to be healthy, or so soft they can't be discerned. There are other sounds, too. Sounds too horrible to hold in one's head for long, like the sound of a loved one crying or the rasp of a death rattle. The sound that came from Bear upon the discovery of the dead art was still another kind of sound. There were a few moments when I actually thought the situation could be remedied. A few naive seconds when I honestly believed things might still be savaged. But that was when the bear had only seen the ground squirrel on the desk and the almost cheerful jackalope propped by the waste can. By the time the bear looked up at the walls, I understood quite clearly there was no hope. Not for the old man, not for me, not for anyone. And then I heard it. Heard it pierce the darkness like a ray of hope, like pure golden sunshine. From out the tinny radio on the desk came the commercial for Yum Tum Bubblegum. 7. 30 seconds. I knew that was about all I had, and that was all I needed. There were images flashing across my mind as I splashed through the door and shot across the parking lot. I could see the bear standing on its rear haunches, rocking gently as if in a trance. I could see the old man fumbling beneath his desk for what? A gun? Medication? All I knew at that moment was that in 30 seconds, that jingle was going to end, and with it, any chance for escape. And so I ran. I ran and I drove, and I didn't stop until I ran out of gas. I pulled over at a little filling station just long enough for coffee, and I was back on the road again, putting distance behind me for the sake of distance. Finally, as the sun peeked into the rearview mirror, I slowed down a little and loosened my grip on the wheel. I reached over and turned on the radio. I found a blues station, the perfect complement to the approaching sunrise. Thank you.
Associate Professor of English at Sinclair Community College, Jamie Dunham, at this year's Antioch Writers Workshop. This is Why So Weekend. Last week, graduates of the Air Force Institute of Technology held their capstone event. WYSO was there. For the exercise, 31 program graduates were separated into two teams competing against each other in large-scale cyber warfare. The Cybersecurity Boot Camp was created by AFIT's Center for Cyberspace Research in response to the growing number of cybersecurity issues.
How are we doing? Are we getting there? You're good.
Dr. Tim Lacey is the IT director and is also one of the course's instructors. He says the students were provided some basic goals and tools for the event known as HackFest.
We do not get into the detailed running of the exercise. We give them the infrastructure, we give them the tools, we give them the education that they need to conduct it. Then we try to give them a framework that makes it fair for both teams, and then we turn them loose. And because they're all very competitive and they all want to win. And so it's just interesting to watch the dynamics play out.
Lieutenant Nina Weisgerber finished the course back in 2007. This year, she helped run the program.
Well, this is critical practice for them. It gives them a hands-on opportunity to practice in a live-fire, person-on-person. They can see actively what's going on. They're expecting things to be going on, so they have that leg up. And this is, you know, it shows all of the concepts that they've been learning over the past 8 weeks.
Advanced Cyber Engineering, or ACE, is the nation's only cybersecurity program for ROTC cadets that combines education, hands-on experience, and research internships with Air Force scientists and engineers. Along with cybersecurity, leadership development is also a part of the program.
They're probably going to go after this one again, so just make sure to keep your eyes on it.
Also, last weekend, dog trainers, canine units, and citizens gathered at Veterans Park in Springfield for the unveiling of a new memorial. The War Dog Memorial honors four-legged veterans as well as local service dogs. WISO's Wayne Baker has more.
When Dave Bauer was serving in the Vietnam War, he worked alongside of human and canine soldiers. And when he got injured on the battlefield, he became aware of the sacrifices of the war dogs.
And I was laying there in the hospital, and they was operating on me. And when I looked over on the other gurney, they was operating on a dog.
Bauer received a Purple Heart for his service and is now a Clark County Veterans Commissioner. In 2009, he began raising funds to construct the memorial, which today honors dogs who serve in a variety of capacities.
You see in the paper where a police dog sniff out, you know, different stuff, and you got your bomb dogs, and they use these animals for all different kinds of situations, and they just do an awesome job, and I think that they should have been recognized years ago, and well, they're recognized now, and so in the dog handlers.
Bauer hopes that the War Dog Memorial will be a physical reminder of the sacrifices made by service dogs and their handlers. For WYSO, I'm Wayne Baker reporting.
And now a look at what's ahead. Next Saturday marks the grand opening of Dayton History's Heritage Center of Dayton Manufacturing and Entrepreneurship. WYSO's Juliet Fromholt took a tour of the new facility with Dayton History's president, Brady Kress. They started off in an exhibit room dedicated to NCR.
What we've done here is taken part of the Carillon collection and the NCR archive collection. And before you are nice, kind of enveloping you, are 91 different cash registers that were all built in the John Patterson era. So everything before World War I. The brass, the wood, the chrome registers that are here really represent what a manufacturing giant Dayton was. We controlled. At the time of John Patterson's death in 1922, we controlled 95% of the world's business machine market. And I think that's one of the things that will surprise our guests, not only the beauty that they're surrounded with in this room when we're finished and we open, but just this idea that NCR was a calling card around the globe. It was one of the world's first global companies, and it was centered in Dayton, Ohio.
This is the first time that most people are going to see these machines. Is there a sense of excitement among the staff that you're showing a lot of people something brand new?
Sure, it is. And what's, you know, right now we're in the construction phase. I think over the next, and time is getting short, but over the next week before we open, what's really going to come to life is as we concentrate on the show. And with that, we're going to have background sounds. The lighting is going to be very important. So very much in a theatrical way to display these. I think that's when the staff is really going to be excited, because we know that guests are going to walk in and they won't have seen anything like this ever before. And so not just from a local perspective, and I think local pride, I think, you know, anybody that's been in the Miami Valley for a couple decades, they know somebody or a family member has worked at one of the General Motors facilities, has worked at Mead or Lexus or McCall's or NCR, Price Brothers, Dura-Iron, all these stories that we're telling in one center. I think that's when people, that's when the goosebumps come out, right? you say, wow, what an incredible place.
Do you have a favorite piece?
Actually,
either in this room or in,
well,
in one
this,
of the other?
In this room, I really like the center cash register that's here, and that's on the central kiosk that'll greet people as they come in. As you pass through this introductory gallery, first thing you see is the restored Deeds Barn where Delco started. So Dayton Engineering Laboratories Company started in the upstairs hayloft of this carriage house, and we moved this carriage house in one piece back in 2009 right onto its new pad, and then we built this 28,000 square foot facility around it. And inside of it, we have a whole display on how Delco started, and we have the 1912 Cadillac that's owned by the Kettering family that has the first starter ignition lighting system on the market. So that's a very nice piece as well. The two things that are in the center that are really going to be attractive to teachers and schools even the after-school groups that we see are in two of the other rooms. One is a fully animatronic theater, And the other is right around the corner, and it's our Carousel of Dayton Innovation, if you want to go check that out. Full size, 36 foot in diameter, hand-carved, hand-painted, built right here in Ohio up in Mansfield, carousel, completely custom-built per our specifications based on the stories and the legacy of Dayton, Ohio. So as you look on this carousel, all of the features, there are 31 different features on here, and all of them tell a different story of a business, of entrepreneurship, of manufacturing, from the Dayton motorcycle that the Davis Sewing Machine Company here in Dayton was producing, later would become known as Huffy, to the Huffy bicycle, to Mike Sells potato chips, to the Iams dog food bag, the Kettering Bug, the Havilland DH4. We have a pop top over there with the Dayton Breweries Company painted on it. Mike Sills delivery truck. Your chance to ride on an NCR cash register over on the other side. And what's fun about this carousel is that it's fully ADA compliant. So if you're in a wheelchair, come enjoy the carousel, because we can get you on the carousel, and then the seat on the cash register lifts up, and we can strap a wheelchair right onto the carousel. And this whole carousel, as you can see, is controlled by, over in the corner, by a converted NCR cash register. So, and the music that we'll have in here that we're preparing right now, the majority of it is music that was recorded in the 1930s and 40s from the NCR auditorium and the mighty Wurlitzer that was in there. So down to the music, down to the last drop of paint. This is the only carousel like this in the world, and it's as I mentioned before, strictly Dayton, Ohio, absolutely.
WYSO's Juliet Fromholt and Dayton History President Brady Kress touring the new Heritage Center of Dayton Manufacturing and Entrepreneurship at Carillon Park. The center's grand opening is Saturday, August 20th. For information, visit daytonhistory.org. You're listening to WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us and joining me in studio for a music extravaganza. WYSO Music Director Nikki Dakota. Nikki, how you doing?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm actually doing very, very well. Excited about our community concert coming up on August 21st. It is a Sunday afternoon, and we have some amazing music going to be taking the stage.
Yeah, in the background, a little bit of music from Ricky Knight.
Yeah, we've got the show is Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon. It'll be at Riverscape Metro Park, right in the heart of downtown Dayton, under that beautiful big white pavilion. We have Crazy Joe with Ricky Knight Incorporated. They're playing together. I don't know if you know the history behind Ricky Knight, but he has been practicing the art, the craft of boogie-woogie piano for a couple of decades now in Cincinnati. He travels the world and is considered by many to be the modern ambassador, the modern purveyor of this very unique, danceable form of American music. Crazy Joe, a big friend of the station, a longtime presence on the Dayton music scene, one of the finest guitar players you'll find anywhere when he's not playing with Deke Dickerson, considered to be the acme of modern sort of rockabilly music. He heads his own band, Crazy Joe and the Mad River Outlaws. He's together with Ricky Knight in this case, and they have done this many times. There's a simpatico between their musics, and it's a rockin' good show. We want you to expect to dance when you come.
Oh, great. Nikki, before we move on, we're going to listen to a little bit more music from Crazy Joe, a little Flight of the Bumblebee. Thank you.
Yeah, he's known for that. He actually can virtually do two opposing melody lines simultaneously on his guitar. He's absolutely amazing, and it's a great guy, and just a really lovely fixture here on the Miami Valley music scene. You've got a lot of people coming out on this end. It's going to be a big night. There'll be adult beverages for sale. We're also asking that you bring a chair. Bring a chair. We'll be under the pavilion, but you'll want a chair to sit in when you're there. Of course, we'll leave a space for some dancing. But it's going to be a great time again, Sunday, August 21st, from 6 until 9 p.m. And taking the stage at 6 o'clock is a young group of extremely talented young boys. They are, I think, just this past chapter, one graduated from high school. I think the other three are still in high school. They're from Yellow Springs. They are doing modern string band music. There's a bass player. There's a mandolin, occasionally some banjo. There's a fellow that plays harmonica and a djembe drum. Together, it is such an excitement to behold. They are clearly just so joyful to be making this music, and they are so good. Multiple part harmonies and great, great tunes. A lot taken from older American early string music icon, but also they do a lot of modern music as well, in addition to writing their own stuff. They just have an album out, and then we'll be listening to that in the days to come.
Let's listen to a little bit of music from Wheels.
Something from Wheels, who make their homes in Yellow Springs, but hopefully making their homes far and wide after this. It's a great honor to present all of these musicians for the summer concert. Again, that's Sunday, August 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. Mark your calendar, plan to be there with us, and do bring a chair. We'll have food for sale, adult beverages for sale, and definitely a great time for free, free and open to the public. Come on down.
All right. And Nikki, I said this was a music extravaganza. We've got a CD of the month to talk about just real quick.
They're called Old Bell. Many regular Excursions listeners will already know this band. Fabulous talents, among which is just, I love this idea. Levon Helm's daughter, well, Levon Helm from the band, one of my favorite all-time bands. His daughter, Amy, turns out to be musical, go figure. And she and these four other people have formed this band, Ola Bell, that has so much heart and soul. There's a rootsiness, a wholesomeness to what they do. Very positive songs for the most part, and just really nice instrumentation. I'm such a fan of this disc. It's just out. In fact, we won't be able. The record label is shipping us a shipment the same time that they would send it to record stores. It won't be out until August 16th. And if you call and pledge your support for YSO, for the music and all the great programming here, when we get those on August 16th, we will put your name on an envelope, slip one in. You get a member card with that as well. It's for your generous pledge of $75. You get great music to have and hold and own, and great music every day on these radio airwaves. There's full details about this record and a link to listen to several tracks from it at wyso.org. Ola Bell's new Neon Blue Bird, just out on 30 Tigers Records. It's a great one.
You said you're leaving me behind. There's just one thing I wanna put on your mind. You know the love that you've been getting, I'm gonna give it to someone new. And you're gonna miss me, baby, when you're gone. You're gonna miss me, oh baby, when you're gone. Oh honey, what you gonna do? Without the war.
Great. You can support WYSO with a CD of the month and just to support us at the WYSO community concert.
Yeah, I do hope to see you there. Of course, I'll be there on stage. Jerry, you'll be there. In fact, most of the YSO staff and an amazing cadre of volunteers. That's how we get all this done. People coming together, and there'll be a lot of people coming out to support YSO by volunteering, but also we'd like you to be there in presence and be a part of our community.
WYSO Music Director Nikki Dakota. Nikki, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Jerry.
That's it for this week's edition of YSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. Coming up next, the Book Nook.